Teacup time, it's teacup time. Oh, sober pod, it's teacup time.
Cheers.
Episode 41.
At least teacups have a nice twink to them.
They do, not these plastic BS wine glasses because we're breaking everything right and left.
So you may notice we're not drinking wine tonight.
Oh my God, what have you done with Allie and Madison?
This is the first, I'm not fucking with you, the first podcast in 41 podcasts that we did not have alcohol.
That's not true. We did one other one. It was the financial pod.
I think I didn't have alcohol, but you still did.
I think we were both sober for that one.
Really? No wonder it's flopped.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We are just run down bitches. We're tired. Madison's always sick. I'm always hurting myself.
Allie's got a burnt nose and a rolled ankle. I have the 24-hour plague and chlamydia. I'm just kidding. I'm chlamydia.
The burnt nose part, should I explain? So like,
she did a lot of coke.
We wanted to drink some tea, and so I was making Madison tea with my electric fucking teapot because I'm a bougie ass bitch.
It's cute.
And it was just over there fucking brewing,
steaming up a storm. It was
for
like
so long, and it's supposed to, like, you know, you click, okay, it's black tea, you click the black tea setting, and then it goes, and then it stops, and it beeps at you when it stops. Well, it's going, and like, I put a decent amount of water in there. It was steaming so much,
like evaporating off all the water,
that when I went to go pour it, there was none left. And so I was like, did it burn the tea? So I went to smell it through the spout, and this steam, I'm not kidding, burned the fuck out of the outside of my, like,
nose. She
was
assaulted.
It hurts right now. Like, I feel like I touched the stove with my nose.
She goes, look at my nose. I'm like,
there's nothing there.
I don't see anything.
I do feel like at some point it's either going to peel or blister
or something.
So that sucks. I also rolled the absolute living fuck out of my ankle today, doing legitimately nothing.
Existing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I was wearing my platform Uggs. And what's so fucking funny about this is I roll my ankle a lot in those, but never anything serious. Like, I stumble. But this one, I like jumped up and I heard popping. Like, it went crack, crack. And I laid there for a second.
On
like,
the ground.
Not sure.
At work.
If my leg just broke, and I was just like in shock. I couldn't even like speak. But I get on TikTok, and earlier that morning at like, this happened at like noon, my coworker sent me, because I always wear my platform UGG, she sent me a video at 8:23 in the morning of this girl with a broken leg, and the caption was, I'm telling you, you don't need the platform UGGs. And I was like, she's like, I'm so sorry, I wish that bad juju on you.
Like, literally cursed you.
What are the fucking odds? And I didn't even see that until after it happened.
It's honestly so true though. Like, wear a pair of platforms, you're gonna break your leg.
Yeah,
your ankle's,
and they're
done.
So cute, and like, I'm a short girl, so I like to wear platforms, and I like the like little chunky vibe that it gives, you know,
like a little outfit. Yeah.
But I might be retiring those for the foreseeable future because I cannot be trusted.
Every time I wear platforms, I roll my ankle. Every single time.
Same.
So anyway, we're not drinking wine because we just needed to rest our bodies a little bit. We needed, like, our livers needed a break, our brains needed a break. Yeah. We don't want to be hung over tomorrow.
Yeah.
So welcome to the sober pod. We did have a little something else.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we had some Kratom. Madison.
Like, is that illegal?
Madison, one thing about Madison. She, can we tell the story about the muffins?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Madison is the biggest hypochondriac, but only when it comes to
drugs.
Like substances.
Yeah, not like, I don't think I'm sick and I'm not sick, right?
No.
I don't think like something's,
or like she's gonna die. Like, basically, okay, if you don't know what kratom is, it's a tea leaf and it's not approved by the FDA. Like, I'm not condoning or endorsing this, but it's, you know, just like how weed is a leaf and mushrooms are a plant. It's in the same, I would say, category. It's not a hallucinogen and it's not, it doesn't get you high. But for reference on like what it does is it kind of like, they give it to people getting off heroin because it gives the same like almost like warm blanket feeling that an opiate does. But I won't go on a huge rant about it, but my theory on why it's not approved by the FDA is because I think that the pharmaceutical company's conspiracy theory would literally plummet because it helps with anxiety, depression. It's like an energy
helps
drug, like Adderall helps you focus.
Helps
like,
you sleep if you need to sleep.
Helps
yeah.
you sleep. Like so many drugs that the big pharma push on us like could be replaced with a natural
So, of
substance.
Course, the plant is illegal.
So, it's not illegal. You could buy it at...
Isn't it illegal?
No.
Oh.
No, you can buy it at any smoke shop.
Oh, no, I guess it's not illegal.
It's not illegal at all. It's literally just a tea leaf that makes you feel good.
Oh, no, that's salvia.
Salvia, you can also buy it at smoke shops.
What?
Yeah, no, it's not illegal. It's just not approved by the FDA. So it's not like...
Endorsed.
Yeah. Like you're not going to go be able to buy it at Walmart, basically, or like at CBS. However, I do believe that, you know, do your research on it. Like don't just go balls to the walls it. But whenever I'm having like a really bad day mentally, or if I have like really bad period pains, I'll take some. And it really does help. Helps with pain, helps with my mood. The reason that I actually found it in the first place, or like liked it and bought some for myself, was because I really used to struggle with depression. And my coworker had given me some one day when I was having a really bad day. And I just remember I got home and I was laying in my bed, and this was like 10 hours after I had taken it. And I just felt so content. Like, that's the only way I could put it. I was like, is this what normal people feel like?
Well, I actually read about this a while back, and it binds to the same receptors that opioids do. So yeah, it has a similar, obviously it's not like taking an oxy or anything.
No, but, and you don't get like high. Like, yeah. You don't feel high. You just feel like warm and fuzzy inside. And
but back to the reason we were talking about this, me being someone who thinks I'm very sensitive to drugs and substances. So I really think like I'm going to have a crazy, like I was like, I'm going to get high.
Yeah, she was like, I'm not get high. She's like, I'm not taking it because it's going to get me high.
I'm going to be high.
I was like, Madison, I swear on like everything that it's not like
and
that.
I'm definitely not high. I feel good. I'm a little bit tired, but I'm not like stoned or anything.
Yeah.
But the reason that she was like, oh, here we go, is because one time I'm terrified of marijuana. I don't smoke. I don't like edibles. I don't like being high. I get really bad anxiety. So I've just always kind of had this connotation that I have anxiety with marijuana. So I'm at work one day and someone brought in these little cornbread muffins and left them on the counter.
And I worked at a gym.
I was like personal trainer. Okay. This like in the employee room at work, like there's no reason that there would be edibles on the counter, but I ate these two little cornbread muffins and I was
also,
like,
so who the fuck turns cornbread muffins into?
I was like, those tasted, no, there's no way. An hour later, I am high. I'm high. I'm freaking out. I'm having a full-blown panic attack in the office. My boss is like, I have clients. He's like, Madison, you have clients. I'm like, I'm so high. I'm going to have a panic attack. Like, I need you to call an ambulance. The cornbread muffins. Somebody drugged the cornbread muffins. And I kid you not, I was high. I genuinely felt like the same exact feeling that you feel when you smoke weed.
Your mind is a very powerful thing.
Extremely powerful, clearly, because my coworker came over to me. He saw me freaking the fuck out in the corner. My boss is over there. It's a whole scene. He's like, Madison, like, what's going on with you? And I was like, somebody drugged the cornbread.
So ridiculous.
Muffins. He's like, what are you talking about? I brought those in. There's no drugs in them. He starts eating them. There's no drugs in them, Madison. I was like, somebody, he was like, Madison, I swear on my life, there's no marijuana in these muffins. And like when he said that and I saw him eating them and I put reason together, the high went away.
They must have thought you were
batshit
insane.
Now my boss looked at me, he's like, are you actually
like,
good?
Did you take something
No, for sure. And I was like, no, I clearly have a panic anxiety disorder or something.
Yeah, which
like,
you don't. Which
no, I really
so
don't.
But yeah, so anyways, that a roundabout way to say we did some kratom instead of drinking wine just to like, you know, give us a little pizzazz. But funny enough, Madison was like yawning. She's like, I feel like I want to fall asleep now because it does relax.
It's giving cozy blanket vibes for sure.
Which maybe that's why I like it, because it just makes me feel like more calm. And as much as like, I feel like you're a pretty high strung person. Like you're like a high functioning anxious person. Like,
yeah,
I don't
for
think
sure.
that you have anxiety because things don't really worry you like to the extent that I do. But because I'm such a worrier, I think I like it because it really just like makes everything feel okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel, you know? I definitely feel calm. I definitely have high functioning anxiety to the point where I almost don't even notice it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's like you always have to be doing something.
Always.
Like
on,
Madison,
on.
When Madison and I live together, I'm very much the type of person that wants to lay. Like I want to do.
I will lay.
Fucking nothing. Bed rot. Don't talk to me all weekend.
Could not.
8 hours straight of just not moving from the couch. Madison like would go crazy. 2 hours laying down, she's like, I gotta go.
I gotta get up.
Yeah.
If I don't get social interaction, I am genuinely an extrovert to the point where if I am not being charged by experiences or other people or stimulation, I get depressed. I get down. I get anxious. Like that is when I will feel anxious.
And it's so crazy because I am such an introvert. Like I definitely have extroverted qualities about myself. Like I like it to a certain extent, but I do not get charged by being around people. I recharge by being like alone or with someone that I'm really comfortable with. And I feel like a good example of this is Madison has so many friends and she can be around like so many different people all of the time. Whereas for me, I have to either be like my social battery has to be completely full for me to just be around just anybody.
For sure.
Otherwise, I have to be around. I'm really, really particular about who I spend my time with. And it's not nothing against anybody in my life or any friends or people or friends of Madison. You know, it's just like there are few people that I don't feel drained around. Like, yeah. Madison is one of them. I never feel drained. I feel like she charges my battery. Like, my boyfriend, like, he charges my battery. Like, there's few people in this world that don't drain me. And Madison has never understood that because she's the opposite. Like, she could be around anybody and feel...
Just the electricity and the energy in a room is what charges me. And, like, I will go, God forbid, like, last weekend was the first weekend in six fucking years that we didn't have anything planned. What do?
Plan something.
We're going to a Halloween party. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no chilling for me. And luckily in my relationship, that works for him because he really could go either way.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting to think about human beings and how genuinely different we are when it comes to being introverted or being extroverted and like how that can really affect how you feel and the type of person you are.
And how hard it can be to fully understand the other side of the spectrum. Because although that I am very much in the middle sometimes, I definitely lean more to the introverted. Like if I had to choose between being alone and being with a big group of people, like, oh, I'm fucking bye.
And I think this is so helpful to know about yourself when you're picking a career to go into, because obviously in our young 20s, mid 20s, late 20s, we are still trying to figure it the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Nobody has it figured out. It's funny when you graduate from high school and you go to college or not, you kind of think that that's the point where you're going to figure it all out. You're not even close.
No.
I mean, there is a rare 1% of people in this world that leave high school knowing what they're going to do with
their life. Which is so crazy. It's always been crazy to me that you get out of high school, you're still a fucking Iggy Googie baby.
A child.
Like, yes, you're legally an adult. You've had zero life experience outside of living with mommy and daddy.
And most people live with their parents till they're 30 anyway.
And then you're expected to pick a career for the rest of your life like you're supposed to fucking know. And like, we were talking about school earlier, and I'm not going to get off track here, but I never finished my degree because I just couldn't fucking figure out what I wanted to go for. And I felt like I was spending so much time and energy and money on all of these classes that I just like, I couldn't pick one. And I kept changing my major. And then all I could ever think was how crazy it was that there were other people my age that just were so certain of what they wanted to do.
And they were just doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And on to like your point, you're a realtor, which you're around people all the time. And like you see people, you interact with people, and I'm a fucking
constantly.
Editor. And I'm an editor. So I'm like alone all the time.
On the computer.
I mean, obviously I have an office with a bunch of people, but my actual job itself, I work primarily by myself.
Yeah. Which I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But that's why it's so important to figure out. There's actually a personality test. Everyone who's listening should take this test. It's called the DISC assessment. DISC. And they make realtors take this, but it's for a lot of different jobs. And it basically determines whether you are dominant, analytical, social, or emotional, and what percentage of each part you are, and basically what career you should go into based off of that.
Ooh, interesting. To your point, once again, the Myers-Briggs personality test is another really, really fucking good one. I make every guy I date take it. I make all my friends, all my family. I had a job where they also made all of us take it to learn how to best manage us. And basically there are 16 personalities that you can be, that like categories that you can fall under. There's 4 categories, 16 personalities total. And then within each singular personality, there's 2 sides to it. There's turbulent and assertive, so it's like AT. And you've probably heard about this, like INST or whatever, like those ones. But I swear to God, take this test. It's a lengthy one. It will read you to filth. It tells you whether how far on the scale of introverted versus extroverted you are. It tells you how far on the scale of turbulent versus assertive you are. It tells you how far on the scale you are of intuitive versus logical. And there's like a couple other ones.
I don't think I've taken this.
I've made you take this.
Oh, you have?
It was a while ago.
I'll have to redo it.
Yeah, I'm a campaigner. I think you were like a logistician or something. It's very like logical, like driven type personality.
Makes sense.
And mine is more of like the creative background.
It's so important to know yourself. And like sometimes these little hokey pokey tests online. I mean, it's helpful.
It's not a hokey pokey test.
No,
though.
I'm just saying there's like you go online and take any like
no the Myers-Briggs is like created. It's like a scientifically studied test, and it's basically like studied so in depth that it describes. It's not like your horoscope or anything like that. It actually describes specifically every personality that exists and
it's
like
really
the
cool
categories that you fall into, and then it'll tell you like what personalities you're most compatible with and like vice all of that stuff. Like
I'm literally taking this when I get home.
Yeah, like what jobs you should be and like how. So like my last job made us take it so that they could see how to best manage us, because mine said that I don't like to be micromanaged. I like to have creative freedom and control over my work, and I do best under like scenarios where I have basically not being micromanaged. Like I don't like having like lists of things, like specifically how I'm supposed to execute things,
right.
Whereas my coworker was the opposite. She likes to be like, here's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, how you're gonna
she
do
needs
this
a
task
list. Yeah.
And it was so fucking true in the workplace, because she would get like overwhelmed if she didn't have clear instruction on how to like complete a task because she like wanted to do it right, didn't know how like they wanted it or whatever. Whereas I fucking hate that shit. Like, let me do it. Tell me what you want and let me go
and
do it.
And if you want me to change it, then I can.
Yeah, then we can talk, but I'm going to do it my way because that's how I work best.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Well, and I mean, it just goes to the point, like we have so much pressure as young adults to figure out what we're going to do and be the best at it and climb the ladder so quickly. And we are like still developing our frontal fucking lobe.
Yeah.
Like there is so much pressure and burnout happens so easily. The best advice that I can give is I didn't go to college. I tried. It wasn't for me. I found a career that I could best use my strengths in. I looked around and I was like, what can I do where I can put the best parts of me forward every day? And I thought, okay, I'm going to be good at sales and I'm going to be good with people. I don't have a degree. I'm going to go be a realtor. There's a lot of people that want to go be a realtor and can't fucking do it. Yeah. They could never do it. It's not, they're not built for it.
Me, I couldn't do it. Like I watched my mom while she's on the phone all the time.
24/7.
I couldn't do that.
It never ends. And the problem solving that comes with it, the putting out the fires, the staying very low emotion. You have to be a very specific type of person. Same thing as you. I couldn't go stare at a screen all day. I genuinely would go insane.
I love how that's what you, yours is like all of these like great like things and mine's staring at a screen. No, yeah, like my job definitely, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I always knew that I was a creative person. I like to be creative. I like to feel like I'm creating something, or I don't know how to explain it. Like I get motivated to make things and create
to make things.
And
yeah.
Feel, I love the feeling of like being inspired and.
You're an artist in a way.
Yeah. Like it's an art and it had to do with other passions, how I got there. And if you're somebody that has hobbies or passions or things that they like, but you don't know what you want to do for a career because it's hard, especially if you're like me, like you're a creative person. I would never be good at sales. I would never be good in like high tense environments. Like yeah. Not to say my job doesn't have, you know, that goes hand in hand, but
it's not like the finance bros screaming at each other in the corporate office.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I found my career path by accident, just by never letting go or letting the struggles of life or what I thought I should be doing or what everyone kept telling me that I needed to be doing to be successful get in the way of continuing to do what made me happy. And I know it's so cliche to say, do what makes you happy, because that is what's going to lead you to where you need to be in life or where you want to be or where you're going to be the most happiness. Like yeah. The law of attraction, if you're doing something that makes you feel good, you're going to attract the things that also make you feel good in turn. And so my point for saying this is like, if you haven't found what you're going to do yet or what you want to do, but you have creative passions or things that, you know, it doesn't even have to be creative, but you have things that you're passionate about or things that you like doing, don't give up on those dreams just because you feel like there's no way to make money doing that. Like my job, I'm now in marketing for a company doing content creation. That was never something that I was like necessarily passionate about, but the way that I got that job was from dropping out of school to start editing. The way that this podcast became a thing was the same fucking reason. Like my mom was so mad when I told her that I was dropping out of school because I wanted to pursue YouTube.
She was like, what are you talking about?
And it wasn't like, obviously I wasn't like, oh, I want to pursue YouTube, but like I told her, and this is what ultimately made me, and I went back a couple times after this initial story that I'm telling you, but because I just didn't know and I was young and I was scared and everyone told me, oh, you're not gonna be successful unless you do it this way. But I knew that I was only gonna be young once, and if I wanted to pursue these things that I found, like music or content creation or whatever the fuck it was that interested me, then now was the time. And I felt like school was always gonna be there and I could make money doing other things in the meantime and just figure it out along the way. And like, funny enough, I ended up getting a job because of the hobby that I did on my free time back when I was making no money, just because I enjoyed it.
And you fall into that path because you stayed true to what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone says this, you'll never work a day in your life if you're doing something that you love. Mm-hmm. And of course, in this day and age, it's a little bit more difficult because you can't buy a loaf of bread for $47 anymore. And the minimum wage, a lot of jobs don't pay very well. Like you have to still put a roof over your head and support yourself. But do that if you need to, make enough money to support yourself, but don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on the things that you care about. Or you're going to spend the rest of your life just working to pay the bills, mm-hmm. instead of having a passion or a goal or a dream or an aspiration that you actually get to work towards.
And I'm a firm believer that just because you're not feeling successful now or making a fuck ton of money like everyone else displays that they are on social media in this day and age, because it's so easy for a 16-year-old to do a dance in their bedroom and become a millionaire.
Right.
Just because you're not on the same trajectory and everyone's telling you that you need to do X, Y, and Z and to have this corporate job and like follow the herd to be successful. If you're doing something that you're passionate about, or you're working, you know, at a restaurant in the meantime while you're trying to chase your dreams, I think you should keep doing that, because one day something will come around and reward you for all of your hard hard work. And as long as you don't give up, like, I feel like people give up way too quickly.
Because there's no instant gratification in this kind of stuff.
People give up too quickly when they're trying to chase their dreams, because it's not going to happen overnight. And there's going to be a lot of failure along the way. But if you give up, you're never going to get there. If you keep going and you believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to either. Like, if you walk into a room and you're pitching yourself to a room full of people, but deep down you don't believe that you're good enough to be there or that you can do the job, they're gonna fucking read you to filth. They're gonna smell it on you the second you walk through the door. And why should somebody believe in you if you don't believe in yourself? If you don't believe in yourself, it's like you're basically telling everybody that you can't do it. And I think deep down we all know what we're capable of, but we let our failures get in the way of seeing the future or seeing the silver lining, and we want to just quit and give up instead of continuing to push ourselves and try and use that little fire inside of us to keep going.
Well, absolutely. And we let the expectations crush us instead of taking them as a challenge. Like LeBron James said, expectations are not a burden. They're a privilege, because it could be worse. No one could expect anything at all.
It's true. It's like if somebody has high expectations of you, it's because they believe that you can do more. And I used to be somebody that took like this type of criticism or expectation like really hard. Like if I did something at work and, you know, they didn't like it because they thought it wasn't good enough or didn't live up to what I'm capable of, it was hard to hear. But in hindsight, it's like, because they knew I was capable of more.
The only reason that somebody is disappointed in you is if you didn't meet their expectations. Not that I'm saying you should always be striving to meet other people's expectations, because fuck other people, mm-hmm. but you should have very high expectations for yourself if you want to push yourself. If you don't have like a natural setting in your head where I could always do better, I could always be better, you're never going to strive for greatness. And don't get me wrong, comparison is the thief of joy. If you're constantly comparing yourself to other people, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to find gratitude in the things that you've done, but you have to have high expectations for yourself if you want to continue to do better in life.
And it's not just about having high expectations for yourself, because sometimes that could be like stressful and hard. But something that I heard once that I really liked was like, if you make a promise to yourself, like you're going to wake up every day at 5 a.m. and then you don't do it, you're basically teaching yourself that you can't trust yourself. And all that does is make you more insecure and feed the fear inside of you that you're not good enough, or you're not capable, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. If you really want to grow as a person and be the most successful, best version of yourself, then you have to show up for yourself for everything that you say you're going to do. Because the things that are going to push you in life are going to be the things that you don't want to do. The things that make today harder make tomorrow easier.
And that's the thing about discipline. Discipline is choosing between what you want right now and what you want the most with your life. Everything in this world is hard. You have to choose your heart. It's hard to be in shape. It's also hard to be obese. It's hard to get rich. It's also really hard to be poor. Choose your hard, show up for yourself, make commitments to yourself, and stay disciplined. The best version of you is waiting right outside of your comfort zone.
Like, for example, if we're talking about the gym, we don't want to go to the gym, so we don't go because, oh, I'm tired, or oh, I'm this, or oh, I'm that. But when you have to go to work, like, do you just not go because you're tired or you don't want to? No, you go to work or you'd lose your fucking job.
For sure.
So think of it like that. Like, you have to go to work to make money or you will get fired and have no money. Why can't we have the same expectations with ourselves for everything else we want to do with our lives? Like, why do we let our free will and our laziness and our just inability to want to do things deter us from being the best versions of ourselves? And obviously, I'm preaching to the fucking choir, right? Because it's hard. It's hard to do the things you don't want to do. And, you know, it's not like you're just going to wake up one day with all of this crazy motivation and do it. It's not like listening to us is really going to like change it. But sometimes it's a good reminder, because it's the truth. You get to choose the life that you live
every day.
Every single day you wake up and you can be somebody different than you were yesterday. Like, if you're not happy with who you were yesterday, whether it's who you were as a friend, maybe you were a bad friend to someone yesterday, or maybe you, you know, indulged in too much food, or maybe you, you know, did something that you're not proud of, like, that shouldn't carry with you into the next day, and you shouldn't beat yourself up about it, because you can always make the choice to change and be better.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You're absolutely right. And you do not have to let bad decisions become your life. I feel like that happens really easy. It snowballs. Like, you're like, oh, I was a fucking glutton last night, so I might as well do it again today. Or I didn't go to the gym yesterday, or I didn't go to the gym today, so I might as well eat like shit too. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these little decisions that we make in life come down to consistency and comfortability. If you are really, really comfortable with your life, you're probably doing something wrong. There should be some uncomfortability in your day to day. You should be waking up a little earlier, even though you don't want to. You should be eating a little healthier, even though you don't want to. Should read 10 pages of the book, even though you don't want to. All of these little things make you a little bit uncomfortable, but they also better you as a person and make your life better. When your life is better, you become comfortable again. Then you have to push yourself a little bit further.
You'll never grow if you stay inside your comfort zone. And unfortunately, as much as we would probably all love to live a cushiony life, like, you get to live a cushiony life once you've done all the hard shit, because you're not gonna get anywhere by just doing nothing. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And that is true in so many facets of life. And it's very obvious, right? Like, no shit, Allie. But it's like, if you really want something, and we're, you know, it doesn't even have to be a big thing. It could be something small. Like, if you wanna be someone that makes their bed every day, then fucking do it. Fucking do
it. And be consistent about it, because the more consistent you're about it, the less of a chore it becomes. It just becomes a part of your day. I actually heard something I really liked the other day, and it said, if you're not ready for change, then you're just gonna have to go through some more, whether that be in relationships or with work or with friends. If you are not ready to go through change, you're just gonna have to get hurt a little bit more. You're gonna have to learn the lesson a little bit harder until you are finally at a place where you are no longer willing to tolerate the kind of treatment that you've been receiving. You'll get there. You're just gonna have to go through it a little bit more.
Yeah, and obviously if you can prevent having to get to that point by just making small changes every day, then better on you, because it saves you the heartache in the future. And that's like back to what I said earlier, what makes today harder makes tomorrow easier. We as humans, we love, me as a human, I love instant gratification. I used to be such a fucking little slut for instant gratification.
Because, we all are.
You know, but it's like, like for example, I am like someone that really used to be, what's the gluttony?
A glutton?
Yeah, like I love to like indulge in food, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's so good. It makes me happy. It's so...
Endorphin hits.
Endorphin hit. It's so yummy. Do you know how long I spend feeling miserable after I do that? My body doesn't feel good. I feel like shit mentally because I have no self-control. Like, I just feel unhealthy. I look bad. So then I feel not confident. Like, it literally drags with you for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months and years. That one moment in time that you could have just avoided for the foreseeable future to be happy.
If you would have just had a little bit more self-discipline. And that's really what it comes down to. As humans, we are hardwired to go for instant gratification because we aren't able to see the future in the terms of our emotions. We can only feel what we feel as we feel it. We're very in the moment beings, as much as we try to not be. And that's why there's such a high level of addiction, because drugs and alcohol is the most instantaneous gratification you can get with the longest term failure rate. But we don't give a shit because it feels good in the moment. If you can start to hardwire your brain to feel instant gratification from things that you don't like going to the fucking gym, for example, I hated it for the longest time. There's no greater dopamine hit for me now. Or going no contact with someone who doesn't treat you well. Sure, it hurts. But if you can train yourself and be consistent enough with yourself to get to a place where going no contact actually feels like a win for you, then you'll get dopamine. You'll get instant gratification from that. You just have to do hard things and make yourself uncomfortable.
And this is kind of pivoting to like a different topic, but since it's kind of on the topic of like self-care, Madison and I wanted to kind of talk about burnout and, you know, in the workplace or maybe at the gym or in just in life in general with friends and outings and all of these things and like how to deal with that. Because while obviously you want to push yourself to be the best that you can be and do all the things you don't want to do and be really hard on yourself to be a better person, you also have to be able to find that balance of like, am I pushing myself too much? Is it okay to take a break? Because it is. Sometimes you really are doing the best you can, even if you laid in bed all day. Like, I get that 100%. You just can't let yourself live there forever. You have to find balance.
There is no getting better without rest. You cannot work out 7 days a week and expect to have growth. You will actually do more harm than good. You cannot go to work 100 hours a week to make a certain amount of money and expect to have growth from that. Rest is a part of self-care. Rest is a part of discipline. You just have to know like the right time and the right way to use it.
And speaking specifically about work, okay? Because I think I find myself being the type of person that's really proud of the work that I do. And often in the past, I have allowed the people in charge of me, you know, my boss, coworkers, kind of take advantage of me in a sense. Like, I don't think they're meaning to, but Madison said it best in the last podcast, like, people will walk all over you if you let them. 100%, because why wouldn't they? If they're gaining something from putting you through hell and you're letting them, they're not gonna stop. It's like if you go for a job interview and you only ask for 2 carrots and a nickel for your pay.
That's
like,
what you're gonna get.
They don't expect them to pay you any more than that.
No, absolutely.
Like, you have to not be afraid to stand up for yourself. And I know it's hard, especially, like, I don't know if you work a corporate job or like you have a boss or somebody that, you know, you want to impress them and you want to do a good job and you want to move up in the company. That does not mean that you cannot also have a backbone and also be like, hey, I need this, or I'm not okay with this. And I actually am a firm believer that you will get more respect from not just always being a yes man, but having a respectful opinion and boundaries. Like, people respect boundaries. The only time someone doesn't respect a boundary is if they don't respect you.
People will treat you better if you have boundaries. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you seem more strong and sure of yourself if you're willing.
They're not going to fuck with you.
Yeah.
This is why I love confrontation. For those of you out there who are afraid of or really don't like the way confrontation feels, it's only because you haven't done it enough. Confrontation, when used properly, is the best form of problem solving. You're not going to get to the bottom of anything, whether that be you want more money at your job, your boyfriend's treating you like shit, you have a problem with your friend. You're not going to get to a resolution without confrontation. Confrontation is such a negative connotation, but in reality, it is how you solve problems as humans. And it's also how you show whoever is on the receiving side of it that you have a backbone and you believe in what you're saying and you have boundaries. If you just let them walk all over you because you're afraid of confrontation, they're going to.
And let me just say, like, nobody is going to stand up for themselves that doesn't believe that they're going to be okay with or without the person that they're talking to. And I think that is the main thing that kind of like drives that respect factor from like maybe a higher up or a friend or somebody, you know, in your life, because it's like, okay, they're not afraid. They're confident enough in themselves and their abilities, like if this went south, that they're going to be okay.
Well, and that's exactly why you cannot expect the best intentions from people just because you have the best intentions for people. People are not going to treat you well just because you treat them well.
Being a people pleaser is a defense mechanism for repeatedly experiencing emotional neglect. Because if your emotions always led to feelings of rejection and abandonment, then you will always choose to prioritize others' needs in order to feel accepted.
Well, and that's because you believe that pleasing others will prevent conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And this all comes back to our society has deeply rooted a fear of conflict in us, a fear of confrontation. And I just want to flip the script on that, like, so hard. I had this conversation with my sister. I had this conversation with my more docile friends. I come across as very aggressive, but there's actually nothing aggressive about me. I'm just not afraid to say what I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially as women, we are kind of put into a corner where it's like our opinions are not as valid, or we feel like they're not as valid, but that's only because we don't say it with our fucking chest.
And I think too, being a woman and dealing with other women, women are so sensitive and emotional, and like a lot of women don't handle confrontation well. They get very upset very easily, or like they might take it wrong. That's why you have to like definitely dial in your approach to these things. But I think like in a professional environment, like your boss isn't gonna get all fucking emotional. And if she does, then she shouldn't be in her position.
Absolutely.
Like with friends, obviously there's like a way to approach things. But I think the main takeaway is that confrontation is not a bad thing, especially if you're speaking up for something that you believe is right. Because if you're a reasonable, logical person and you have a concern or a thought or a feeling about something that you want to express, like it should be received well on the other end, even if they disagree.
And it's all about respect and mm-hmm. confidence. My biggest tip for someone who wants to work on being better at confrontation is practice in the mirror saying things with confidence. Say what you feel, say what you want to say to yourself in the mirror with the most confidence you can muster. Practice saying no. I think we all resonate with being people pleasers, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially as women, we have a part of us where it's like, you don't want to be neglected, rejected, or feel stupid. You almost put everyone else's feelings above your own just because that makes you feel better. But if you practiced saying no a lot more often and practiced saying things with confidence, it would start to flow naturally and it wouldn't feel so uncomfortable to you.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen this go like south. Like there's somebody that I know that started going to therapy and I just just noticed that she started to become a fucking bitch. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah. I'm like, it's great that you are gaining all this confidence, but there is a way to go about
it. It's a je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to be fucking putting your foot down every right and left.
Have some couth.
Yeah. Like, totally. If it's something, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like this kind of contradicts what you were saying, but that's just like a little tidbit on like, just be cautious of.
No, it doesn't though. Because honestly, I, you know me, I'm a very easygoing person. I say yes to pretty much everything. I don't usually have a lot of complaints or a lot of like things I want changed. I'm not putting my fucking foot down left and right. I'm very go with the flow. I'm not going to cause problems. But when I believe in something or when I am uncomfortable with something, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
And the reason that you're going to know it is because I don't just use, it's not like the boy who cried wolf where I'm like, this doesn't work. That's not it. Right. No, that's just, you're being fucking annoying.
I also think that it does like garner a bit more trust from people because they know that whatever you're saying is like how you truly feel. Like if they ask your opinion on something, they know that they can come to you and get like a real answer.
I mean, you lose respect by being a yes man, and especially in a workplace.
It's not productive or helpful or constructive, like literally at all. Like we're all supposed to be working together to like make the best product or whatever it is that you're trying to do. And if you're not speaking up for what you think, like, you know, how are we supposed to trust you?
Allie and I sit here and say yes and no to what each other says all night long. Yeah. If we said yes to each other's everything, you guys would not be listening.
Well, and I knew this about Madison. Madison's always been like this because if I put on an ugly outfit, Madison will straight up be like, that is...
What the fuck are you wearing?
Take that shit off right now. But you know, everyone out there has a friend that you put something on and you know it looks bad.
So cute.
No, it looks so good.
You
like
look beautiful.
Oh, you're just going to lie straight
to my...
They
want you to look like shit.
For sure. You're just going to lie straight to my face like that. And even if they don't want you to look like shit, but they're too afraid to hurt your feelings, it's like, I would rather you tell me if I look like a damn fool than let me walk around looking like a damn fool just because you're afraid to hurt my feelings.
Well, and I think back to what you said, you really said it well. There's a lot of people who don't know how to say something. Mm-hmm. Human communication is 90% human communication is 90% body language and tonality. You could say the same thing to three different people with three different tones, and they will take three different interpretations from it.
And this is something that I have always really struggled with because I will feel a certain way about something, but like, I think my tone is very, I don't know, I've talked about this before, like it's very monotone or very like just blunt. And I don't really like sugarcoat it with like a nice, like, you know, je ne sais quoi. But it's something that I like truly have to work on because even though I'm not intending it to sound bitchy, like sometimes I just sound like a fucking bitch. That I'm not meaning to be a bitch. There's not an ounce of me that like feels like I'm trying to be sassy or like I'm bothered or irritated or anything. And like, I feel like it's just the way that my brain processes and like how my words just come out of my mouth without me like really overthinking how I say it, you know? So like, I understand that it's difficult, but it really affects my life. Like I've gotten in full on like fights with people over nothing because they thought that, and then I'm like irritated because I'm like, I didn't fucking say it like that. Like I didn't mean it like that. Like, why are you mad? You know, it's like, it could have all been avoided had I just been more aware of like my tone.
Well, this is why human communication has gotten so muddied since online communication has been such a thing, because there is no tonality or body language in a fucking email. Mm-hmm. You know how many times I get text messages from my clients where I'm like,
are you mad?
Do you have beef?
Yeah.
No, they don't have beef at all.
But what's so funny is like over text, I'm so like smiley face, smiley face, smiley face. Like I want you to know that I'm happy because like there's no way to do that. So it's a clear indicator of how oblivious I am in person. Like because in my brain, I'm like, you know, we're just having a conversation, but sometimes I'll watch like a video back of me talking and I'm like, God,
Allie,
why do you sound angry?
Like, I should say my advice to someone who wants to get better at this is take a speech class. I know that sounds insane, but if you don't feel like you naturally have the right emphasis on words at the right time, go take a class and learn how the way that things are said differently or interpreted differently. Mm-hmm. And like you start to pay attention to it. It's like be like, you're a bitch or you're a bitch. Or you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Like that is three different things.
Yeah.
You can say this, I'll say it again. You can say the same sentence three different ways and it means three different things.
Yeah.
So if you're having problems with your confidence, it's probably 90% your tonality. Mm-hmm. So that's about it for podcast 41. I know it wasn't relationship-y. Wow. Oh my God.
But I feel like it was good. And I feel like we are talking about things that are like kind of prevalent in our life right now. So it made it easy for us to just sit here and rant about it.
I just want to say shout out to the day ones. Mm-hmm. I know there's been some people in our DMs lately and some people in our comments that I am just kind of realizing have been with us since day one, who genuinely like to listen to what we're saying and think that we have good advice and think we're funny.
I was about to say it, and they tell us we're funny.
I just want to say, we might not know you personally, but you're our fucking bestie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it means so much to us to have that unwavering and ongoing support.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people, please DM me. Please DM us.
Yeah.
Drop a comment. We would love to hear from you more, because we have a lot of like respect for the people that have listened to us babble for 41 episodes.
And we'll
straight.
Fucking chat back with you, because we genuinely like the human connection part of this podcast. That's like the coolest part, is hearing how what we've said has helped you or affected you or guided you, like makes it all worth it, as cheesy as that fucking sounds. We'll spend all day just like sending screenshots of things that people
back
say
and forth
to us, back
to each
and
other.
Forth, like shedding a tear.
We appreciate you. This is a lot of work, but it has a lot of reward when shit like that comes to our DMs. So here's to episode 41. Here's to many more. We love you, baddies.
Bye, baddies.